Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been hot and humid out there, so people sitting on their porches, they're eating the three-bean salad, and they're eating the ham sandwiches, and they're watching the traffic pass back and forth, what there is on the street, looking at people wearing clothing decent people just wouldn't wear at other times. But I suppose there has to be some forgiveness when it's this hot. That English teacher, the new English teacher in town, walking by in that halter top, a pink halter top, and those short shorts and the flip-flops. Boy, that's odd for an English teacher to be wearing, a beautiful young woman. She's 23 years old, just started teaching English. We try not to look. We watch her as she goes by. She's the one who moved into the Hockstetter house on the old farm place out north of town. A house that's full of ghosts, so we're waiting for her to tell us about this, but she doesn't. She doesn't. She must have some other distractions out there. We'd love to know what they might be. Or maybe she's just like us. She's just people who don't complain. No, it's been a beautiful summer, and the sound of dragonflies in the air, that buzz they make when they fly up from the meadow you walk across, and they fly up and they fly away from you, and the smell of fresh hay just cut. If you've ever bucked hay bales onto a hay wagon, you remember that smell with mixed feelings, but it was good hard work, good sweaty hard work on a summer day. And that summer, the sound of summer, that buzz of those insects, and they're here out in the trees, a relative of some sort. And that smell of fresh hay and the smell of strawberries just coming ripe now in Lake Wobegon, depending on what you mean by ripe. Corn about knee high, depending on how tall you are. This hot, humid weather, just perfect weather for raising corn. Marilyn Tollerud was bringing in a flat of strawberries. She's a grower. She's bringing them into Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery. And she walked into, of course, the back door, and she balanced the flat on her right hip in order to reach over and open the back door, just as Billy the Butcher Boy threw it open, and he hit her right in the face, and he broke her nose, but she didn't drop the strawberries. These are the values of my town. She held onto the strawberries, and she took them in, and she got her money from Ralph, and she bought a bag of frozen peas, and she went out, and she sat in her car, and she held the frozen peas up against the side of her nose, which people saw as they walked by. But in Lake Wobegon, when you see somebody do a weird thing, you just immediately look away so as not to embarrass them. And in this way, a lot of rational things are taken as insanity in my town just because we are overly polite and we don't seek for explanations. So she could see people as they walked by glance at her and think, well, she's gone over the line, hasn't she? She just... Poor woman, her mind has snapped. The pressure of her husband, Darryl, and those kids and everything, she's going to have to go off and live in an institution now and just do crafts from now on. She went down to Dr. DeHaven, who was just getting ready to go fishing with his wife, and he took a look at her. He just touched the side of it. It wasn't bleeding. He said, just a slight break, he said, but you shouldn't do any heavy lifting, and I recommend no housework for 4 weeks. No housework for you, and I recommend 2 beers every day. You want me to write this down on prescription paper? She said, no, that's all right. I can remember it myself. She said, what would you like for payment? He said, I would like 2 pints of strawberries. That's how my town works. Marilyn is now back on speaking terms with her husband, Darryl, after he went down to Minneapolis to the Farmers Union Convention, and he had some drinks with a young agronomist from Wellesley. Didn't know they had agronomy at Wellesley, but there she was, young agronomist from Wellesley, long blonde hair. She looked like she could just walk down a corn row and pollinate those plants herself. Just they had a few drinks at the hotel, and so Marilyn was a little testy about that. Darrell said, "We only talked about sweet corn." He said, "If something were going on, would I have had pictures taken?" But Marilyn saw the pictures. She saw how his arm was draped over that young woman's shoulder. She saw something pass between them. And so she put up a for sale card in the Chatterbox Cafe on the bulletin board right by the door. It said, "For sale, one half of a double burial plot in the cemetery." "Make an offer." She didn't get any offers. I guess the prospect of lying dead next to Darrell just didn't interest people, and so she withdrew it, and so now I guess they're back on speaking terms. Thanks to rhubarb. Rhubarb, which is, of course, the great fruit, actually a vegetable, but a fruit that just is the secret of the good life as we know it in Lake Wobegon. It's for sale in Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery, but nobody would ever pay money for rhubarb. Summer people would, weekend people would, of course, from the city, but no other people. You just lean around with the right people for a little bit and talk to them a little bit, and you say, "You know, my rhubarb just didn't turn out that well this year," and they'll give you all you want. You should never have to pay for a thing like that. That smell of a hay field and the first cutting of hay, second cutting now in Lake Wobegon, it's been growing and growing, takes me back to when I was 17 and I used to buck hay bales up onto a hay wagon out at that Hochstetter farm, actually where that English teacher is living now in that rented brick house. We used to cut hay out there, and I remember it. I remember it so well, the smell of hay and those times when you were 17. Although the Hochstetters had not lived there in years, it had been bought by the Ellisons and then by the Hansons, and Earl Hanson, who died there one day after 16 years. He fixed himself his favorite lunch, macaroni and cheese, and went and he sat down in the big chair in the living room and died happy. Even though the Hochstetters had not owned it for years, it was still known as the Hochstetter Farm in Lake Wobegon. That's just the way we were. The past did not get put away right away. We knew that the past hung on and it held on to you, so we kept these old names even though new tenants came in. It was still the Hochstetter Farm, which just makes sense to me. Because even though I may look to you, some of you, like an old man on a summer day, I'm still 17, and I go back to that summer when forces are battling for your soul to decide who you are. Armies are battling back and forth, and it is not yet clear who will win. You're out there bucking hay bales up onto the wagon, and this is according to the wishes of some of your people who believe that this is exactly the right thing for you, is to work hard and sweat this summer and for the foreseeable future as well, and buckle down and accept responsibility, which in Lake Wobegon means to suffer. To buckle down and work hard at a decent job and don't get big ideas about yourself. And then other people, of course, are giving you big ideas, like that English teacher and other ideas, as in addition to the idea that you were just thinking of. So these wars are going on between you, don't you see? When you're 17, you don't know yet how this is all going to turn out for you, and you're there on a hot summer day, and the dragonflies are buzzing up from the grass, and they found a snapping turtle that wandered up from the river, and they're trying to turn it around to get it moved down towards the river. And the boys that you're cutting hay with and bucking bales with, they dare you to go up to the Hochstetter house and walk in, though it is haunted, and there are ghosts of old Hochstetters there. And they are amazed when you do it. This was a turning point in my life. It's so clear to me that it was. They were terrified of ghosts. I hated hay baling. And to be offered a choice, any choice, even to walk into the mouth of the house of death, was preferable to me. I turned and I walked away from them, and I can still feel their eyes on my back as I walked towards that haunted house. They were alarmed. They were afraid for me. One boy called out, "You don't have to do it." And I walked up to that porch, and I walked into that big two-story brick house sitting there, the shades all pulled. I walked through the door. It was in beautiful condition. It was just empty and had been for 16 years. I went in and I sat down on the floor, the shades all pulled, dark wood floor, darker in places where the furniture had stood all those years the Hockstetters were living there. I sat there, and before long I could hear voices and I could hear footsteps pacing. The Hockstetters were pacers. They walked back and forth because they talked. They were talkers. They loved conversation. They were unusual in our town. You see, they were intellectuals, although they were farmers, and they did not see a contradiction between these two things. Farming was what they did, but it wasn't who they were. And so Hockstetters loved to talk, big talk. They read Tolstoy and Emerson and Thoreau, and they read philosophy, and they argued over the causes of wars and the reasons for poverty. They argued about anything. They loved to talk. Sitting there in that haunted house, I could hear that man pacing from the front door through the living room and down the hall and left and through the kitchen to the back door, and somebody, his wife, was sitting at the kitchen table. And she was saying, "Don't go getting big ideas and running around like a chicken with its head cut off," which was a phrase in Lake Wobegon. Chickens did run around when they were decapitated and you didn't hang on to them. The nervous system would take over and they would go tearing off, blood flying off the stump until they ran into the barn and collapsed. In Lake Wobegon, this term, running like a chicken with its head cut off, was used to refer to any form of excitement. And he was arguing with her. This was the Hockstetter family as we knew them. The Hockstetters could be shoveling manure out of a barn, but they would be talking about the idea of universal beauty and the fact that we have divinity within us, so that when we look at nature, we become one with nature. A Hockstetter could be proclaiming this as he is lifting a great dripping mound of cow flop off the barn floor and carrying it and throwing it into the manure spreader out in back. And the other Hockstetter would be taking the Calvinist Lutheran point of view and saying, "No, man is inherently evil. And so God has intervened in the situation, and we must turn away from ourselves. We must turn away and we must reject ourselves." And the first Hockstetter is throwing that manure up into the wagon, and he's saying, "No, each person contains infinite wisdom. We need to turn to ourselves. We are at one. Everything that we say about God is too small. We can't believe ourselves when we talk about God." And that was the Hockstetters. And they'd get into the manure spreader and they'd go off still talking about universal beauty when they engaged. They engaged the gears and the rotor turned and the great paddles flung cow flop out onto the meadow. They'd be talking about universal beauty. This was the Hockstetters. It was one reason they did not succeed in farming. Because there were always at least two Hockstetters, even when the job would only require one, you see. So they were overmanned. Sometimes there'd be three or four Hockstetters doing just some simple job because they loved conversation. The Hockstetter that I knew was Lloyd, who left the farm and went to live in town, and he taught. He was my English teacher, Lloyd Hockstetter. And he paced back and forth as those Hockstetters did, walked back and forth just so he could talk, so it loosened his thoughts. Lloyd Hockstetter. He didn't teach us much about grammar or sentence structure. He just didn't bother with that. He talked about beauty and he talked about liberty. And then he illustrated it for us by walking back and forth and talking about whatever was on his mind. And every so often he'd pause in front of that classroom just in case we had something to say, but it didn't bother him if we didn't. He had a lot to say himself. He was grateful to have an audience. He'd sit on a summer night after he retired, sit out there in the grass, his wife standing behind him, and he'd talk about the need to be bold in life and to embrace the positive and to turn away from the negative. It does you no good. It only drags you down. To go straight for the things that you love. Live what you love and love what you live. His motto, even as his wife was swatting the mosquitoes on the back of his neck and his arms and his head, he was talking about the need to be bold in life. Get off the beaten track. Make your mistakes. Be bold. He was my teacher. He died this last week. And his funeral is next weekend. I don't get to go to it because I've had this weekend job, you see. All these years, I haven't gone to a funeral in a long, long time. And so, for me, death does not really exist. I haven't seen anybody put in the ground in so long. They just go away somewhere. I don't know where. And I stand here waiting for them to come back. It's one of the blessings of working on a weekend. So he's rejoining his ancestors there in that old brick house where that English teacher lives. And I guess maybe she's been listening to them, listening to those ghosts telling her to be bold and telling her to go ahead, wear that halter top, wear those short shorts when you're 23 years old. Don't wait till you're 64. That's not going to work. So God grant him eternal peace, eternal rest. May the angels make everlasting light to shine upon him. Mr. Lloyd Hochstetter. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.